Welcome, everyone, to Life Perspectives, a brand new production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Gary Anderson, from St. Paul Parish in Westerville. St. John Paul II in Evangelium Vitae said, quote, "Society as a whole must respect, defend, and promote the dignity of every human person at every moment and in every condition of that person's life," unquote. And with that in mind, this show covers the life issues across the entire spectrum of life, from conception to natural death. And as we do each month, we have in studio today a representative, actually two today, of a prominent local pro-life organization, one of a myriad of life-focused organizations right here in Central Ohio. Life Perspectives provides them a forum to share their individual stories, perspectives, challenges, and victories. So our goal is to provide a broad overview of the many critical issues in the pro-life movement in 2020 and beyond. Yeah, in December, Life Perspectives spotlighted the Women's Care Center of Columbus and welcomed their outreach director, Madeline Pesavento. Did I get that right, Madeline?
Yes, you did.
Okay, she's back at studio today. But, you know, last month we were only able to scratch the surface, correct, Madeline?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and we want to take a much deeper dive into what you do today. So we're going to call this Women's Care Center Part 2 in order to take a closer look at this wonderful work, the mission of Women's Care Center. And I'm pleased once again to welcome you, and this time Katie Bider, who's the client care director. Did I get that right, Katie?
Yes, you did.
Great to have you back, Madeline. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you very much, Gary.
But before we begin, let us start with our pro-life prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we pray that those working at Women's Care Center and all pregnancy resource centers should be or would be steadfast and immovable in their holy mission to protect unborn children and support their families. May they abound in the work of the Lord and know that their labor is not in vain. We pray that they would extend compassion, empowerment, and hope to all they serve, and that you would guide them and provide for all their wants and needs. And we pray for women considering abortion, that Christ's compassion will shine light into their despair, and that they would be empowered to choose life. Loving Father, shine your healing touch on all women and men who have been hurt by abortion. And thank you, Lord, for those who have chosen life. May you continue to protect them and their babies, provide for their needs, and empower them to stand firm in their decision for life. Amen.
Amen.
And again, so glad to have you join us today, ladies. So this is going to be our 50,000-foot perspective initially here. That won't get down to some specific questions. But before we start, okay, I want to ask you, Madeline, since we didn't define it last month, exactly what does your position entail as outreach director?
Yes. So I have been with Women's Care Center for about 4 to 5 months now, and my position is called outreach director. So my responsibilities are to invigorate the community around what is going on at the Women's Care Center. So that can be a lot of different things, but I work with donors in the community. I work with parishes in the community to make sure that the mission of the Women's Care Center is known. I also do a lot on the marketing side to make sure that clients around Columbus, women who find themselves in unplanned pregnancies, know how to find the Women's Care Center.
So you effectively are the voice and the face of Women's Care Center.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Great. And Katie, how about you? What does the client care director do? I think I can guess this, but let's hear it for our listeners.
Right. So I've been with the Women's Care Center for going on 10 years now. I started first as a staff nurse and counselor, and about a year and a half ago, I stepped into the role of client care director. I manage our staff of counselors and nurses, and I oversee the daily operations of the center.
Okay. So, okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that is a very challenging role. I can imagine that
times,
is.
Right, right. But our staff is wonderful, so.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known that for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's begin with a fairly general question, but based on what you've heard and you've seen, either one of you, if you could describe that moment when a woman is suddenly faced with unplanned pregnancy, or when she senses she might be pregnant, or maybe she takes home a home pregnancy test and it reads positive. Describe that moment.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, jumping right into it, women come to us women that really need tangible support and counseling to make the decision to parent, they come to us with a lot of different emotions. They take that pregnancy test at home, or they sense that they may be pregnant, and they really they feel a lot of emotions. The first can be fear about their abilities to parent and the future that they envisioned for themselves. They may have an idealized view of what motherhood would be, or maybe never really even viewed themselves as a mother. The second can be anxiety, about telling the family and about accepting it for herself. And then sometimes anger as well. So there's a whole gamut of reactions, and anger can be mad at herself or potentially even father of the baby, just depending on the situation. But in that moment, it can be really hard to get through. We've found in general, a woman will turn to someone in those times, someone who can support or can weigh in on what's going on in her life. And so the biggest thing is, if listeners have ever had someone or ever have someone come to them in an unplanned pregnancy, their demeanor, their words, and their actions can be instrumental or really detrimental in the choice that woman makes to parent her child.
I can imagine. The importance of the response from somebody within their sphere of influence, family, friends, I would assume that if it's a proper and empathetic response, that would be critically important at that particular point in time when this news suddenly is, when they're suddenly faced this news that they may be pregnant. So what's the impact of a proper pro-life supportive response at that point in time, Madeline?
Yes. So kind of looking at it from the other direction first, there was a study published by Vitae Society kind of detailing the psychological dynamics about a woman going through an unplanned pregnancy and just understanding the perspective of that unplanned pregnancy. And it talks about how women give kind of repeated rationalizations for abortion, what they fully believe is taking a life. But it talks about that critical moment when a woman often turns to someone in their life to either validate or not validate that decision. They turn to someone that's a counsel of a trusted friend or relative. And that's kind of viewed as the quote unquote confessor. And that person is oftentimes really supposed to lend moral support or legitimize the decision to abort. And it just kind of shows the spiritual conflict underlying these women. Mm-hmm. So the response, and I'll turn to Katie here, but the response of a counselor, of a person in that woman's life, is really a call to love. You know, oftentimes it can be kind of gentle confrontation, but listening to a woman and responding to her in charity and in truth. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, I agree. I think the biggest thing is allowing that woman to be heard. I hear you. Your feelings are validated. They're real. They're coming from just how you're reacting to the situation.
In a non-judgmental way.
Yeah. Right. Regardless of what those feelings are. And then, like Madeline said, we can use that gentle confrontation if needed. I hear you're feeling this, but what about this? So,
yeah.
But I can only imagine the fear must be off the charts. Mm-hmm. At that point in time.
Yeah.
And the sense of vulnerability, I would think, as well. So, all the more important for that response to be proper.
Yes. And I think a woman needs to hear, you can do this. We can do this. It might feel scary right now, but it's going to be okay. The simple words like that can mm-hmm. make such a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's take the situation where the woman suddenly does find out she's pregnant, or she thinks very strongly she might be. How is she referred to or made a connection with you folks at Women's Care Center? How's that happen?
Yes. So there are really a few ways, lots of ways that women can find out about the Women's Care Center. Most common, actually, is that she finds us on her own. She comes to us to validate what she already suspects might be true. Maybe she's missed a period or taken a home test. Maybe that she doesn't trust the home test. And we have Google Ads, we have paid search, so that women can find us and find that we have medical medical-grade pregnancy tests and free ultrasounds. So often, a woman or her family will call or online schedule, not really knowing a whole lot more about us. So we've actually heard from women, they come to us thinking this is the lowest moment of their life. They think they're coming to the Women's Care Center for an abortion. They really don't know what kind of services we provide. And so that's that kind of beautiful moment where she steps into our doors and, we can take it from there. Another way that a woman finds out about the Women's Care Center is word of mouth. We listen and we love and we treat women
That's
incredibly
so important, yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So even, no matter the situation that a previous client has been through, she will tell another woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, you've got to go to the Women's Care Center. So that's a big one. We also have wrong doors. That's kind of the term that we use. So I talked last episode about our strategic positioning.
Yes.
Yes. Putting our centers right next to abortion centers. And in that way, women see our beautiful buildings, our pink sign, our attractive atmosphere. They might be right next to Planned Parenthood where there's wrought iron fences and herds of cops and escorts outside. And so they come to the Women's Care Center because they see free pregnancy tests, free ultrasound. And so they really don't know what it is that we do. And the last is just referrals from the community. Just last week, I was on the phone with a woman who years ago helped a woman through an unplanned pregnancy, totally on her own, really giving her that material support and assistance. And this woman is kind of now in a situation where her and her baby needs some more support. And she connected with us. And, we just think, oh, if you would have connected with us years ago, we can help with all those situations. So if you're out there in the community supporting a woman, just know that you can come to the Women's Care Center.
And I imagine you've heard many, many times from women who have been to the abortion clinics, then they waltz into your wrong door, okay? Mm-hmm. Stories about the stark difference. It's a whole different world,
yes.
Isn't it, Katie?
Yes, it definitely is.
Because they're treated like a number in the abortion clinics, and people can just feel it. The
right.
lack of compassion, the coldness. And I've had people tell me this as well, but I can't imagine what you hear mm-hmm. on a daily basis at Women's Care Center.
Right.
Yeah, we really do look to have a stark contrast with a Planned Parenthood or a founder's abortion clinic. When they walk in, they're going to hear calming music. They're not greeted with a clipboard and a sliding glass
right.
door.
Right.
We have security cameras that show when a woman's walking in, and so we can greet her the moment that she walks in the door with a smile on her face asking how we can help. And so it's going, there's cozy furniture, that music, and so it's going to feel different.
And just the facility itself is so beautiful.
Yes.
Remember the first time I visited there many years ago? It's just this restored old mansion right there on East Broad Street.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
pretty close to the plant, to the Founders Clinics, just a few blocks.
Yes, just a few blocks.
West of there now?
Yes, yes.
And, of course, out in Reynoldsburg, or is it Whitehall? East Main Street?
Yes.
You're right across the street from what I like to call the head of the snake, the Planned
yes.
Parenthood. And isn't that the biggest abortion provider in the state?
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
So if you folks be positioned there. I mean, that is just brilliant.
Yep.
Yes.
So the people can see for themselves, the women can see for themselves the difference from the choice
yes.
perspective versus the life, the pro-life perspective.
And that's exactly that. There's a lot of talk out there about choice. And at the Women's Care Center, you do really receive a loving choice. You get to learn about your abilities to parent, about what's happening inside your body, about the support that you can receive, mm-hmm. and then make that choice. And that's why over 9 out of 10 of our women that come to the Women's Care Center make that choice for life.
Isn't that amazing? Especially after seeing an ultrasound, a
yes.
sonogram
yes.
of the baby,
yes.
right?
That, yes.
That's the clincher when they see the ultrasound.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You're listening to Life Perspectives right here in St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820 and FM 88.3 for you down in Southern Ohio. It's also streaming on stgabrielradio.com. And each month, we're focusing on life issues from conception all the way across the spectrum to natural death. I'm your host, Gary Anderson, and I'm joined in studio once again by Madeline Pesavento, Outreach Director at Women's Care Center of Columbus. And this time, we're privileged to have Katie Biter, who is the Client Care Director, along with Madeline. So again, welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay, let's
Thank
get
you.
Back to the track we were on there about the differences at Women's Care Center. So By the time a woman meets with a counselor or representative at Women's Care Center, she's normally had several people, probably with good intentions, that have weighed in, but it's not always a very positive or supportive attitude. They think they're doing right, oftentimes, unfortunately, making the suggestion, oh, get rid of the baby, abort, thinking it's the quick, clean solution to the problem. But tell us about your experience in dealing with women who have faced all this huge array of reactions and advice from other people in their sphere of influence prior to visiting with you at Women's Care Center. Tell us about that.
Right. So I'll start by saying the woman's voice, her own voice, and her intention are the most important in this situation. It's her life. She's the expert in her life. But it is good for our staff to know the voices that are going to influence her and impact her. What I've seen and experienced is that the father of the baby and the woman's own mother are usually the most influential. Not always. Every situation can be different. But usually her mom and the father of the baby, their opinions are most influential. A common response from the father of the baby is, well, what do you want to do? Or I'll support your decision either way. And I think I understand why he might say that.
You think that's passing the buck, maybe?
A little bit.
Putting the decision on the woman?
He may not feel like it's his place to tell her what to do either way. And he might not want to pressure her either way. But I think that reaction does have the potential to make her feel more alone in this overwhelming situation.
Sure.
Right. I don't think he necessarily intends that, but for some women, that's how it can be interpreted. And then we do get fathers who are very supportive. We do get fathers who don't want the bait, you know, array of all that. Her mom is usually more willing to share her opinion either way. She's least likely to say, do whatever you want. She'll share her opinion whether woman should keep the baby or not.
How do you think mom's perspective is colored by the history of having an abortion herself?
I definitely think that's a factor.
So if she's had an abortion, does she typically want to discourage her daughter from having one? Or does she look at it as being the solution?
I believe in most cases she looks at it as another solution. Yeah.
Even though she, as studies have shown, she's experiencing great pain, regret herself for having had an abortion.
Right.
If as the folks at Bethesda Healing Ministry would be able to attest.
Right. Right. But that it depends on where mom is in her post-abortive journey.
That's a good point.
Right. Right. Yeah. And does mom need to defend her own decision?
By
encouraging daughter.
And one thing I think the counselors have also mentioned, just kind of that way in there, is when, like Katie said, the voice of the mother is really the voice of the woman sitting in front of the counselor is really most important. But if we know that we have even the potential to have father on our side or mother on our side, that is just, that makes a world of difference. And so, you know, for your listeners, if they have someone come to them, that supportive, charitable response, even if a woman's still kind of contemplating that decision, she comes into the Women's Care Center and, you know, those people are on our team, which is really important.
And I think it's so important that the gentleman, the man, is now recognized as being a critical part of that decision. Because for years, the pro-choice, the pro-aborts, have tried to discard the gentleman. It tried to discount any participation that he should have in that decision.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear that's being acknowledged and, in fact, even encouraged by Women's Care Center.
I mean, we look at the model and the vision of the Holy Family and, you know, St. Joseph, who had that that charitable response to Mary. And it's just a beautiful vision, you know.
You know, as I shared, Madeline, back during the December segment, I had the opportunity to visit Women's Care Center several years ago when I was the state pro-life director for the Knights of Columbus, and it was the Ultrasound Initiative Program. From the first time I walked into that facility in East Broad Street, I could feel it. I mean, it was in the air. It was palpable, just the warmth I've been to some other pregnancy resource centers, and there are some wonderful ones here locally. But again, it just felt a little bit different. I saw how Women's Care Center seems to embody more of a holistic Catholic approach to its mission. So how are your counselors, this may be more for you, Katie, how are your counselors trained to provide such a welcoming and caring and supportive environment for their clients?
Right. So to kind of put it in a nutshell, we're trained in radical hospitality.
That's an interesting concept.
Yes.
Radical hospitality.
Basically treating each woman who comes through the doors as if she's Christ, which is really the pro-life, the bottom of the pro-life belief and value system. Every person is important. And so wherever she is in her life, we're going to treat her with love and support. And that's why we try to offer this warmth environment to put her at ease and so she can, open up and be loved.
And you're not just about the birth of the baby either. I mean, you stay with these ladies, in fact, these families, for well after the birth of the child, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And, you know, I think it's a common objection that I hear that we're only there for the mother through the birth of the baby. But I think it's one, I believe that if you dig a little deeper or took a moment to research this topic, you'd be pleasantly surprised. You know, this person would be pleasantly surprised. At Women's Care Center, we often say that once the baby's born, that's where the work really starts. It's true that you can never get to that point. You can never look to the future without the value work of the community, the counselor, to make that decision to parent. But with that said, we have just such beautiful programs at the Women's Care Center, like our parenting classes, like our goals counseling, and like Crib Club, that are incredibly influential for helping a woman parent her child, tangible support, material support. But also, one thing that's, I think, overlooked, the Women's Care Center is incredibly well connected within the community to meet specific needs of the clients that come to Women's Care Center. You know, there's a few examples, but I think people, you know, you don't have to go about this alone. The Women's Care Center has done the work to know where to go. So we help women get set up with Medicaid. We help women get set up with prenatal care when they find out that they are pregnant. We are addressing the high infant mortality rate here in Columbus. So we also, we just conducted a study that for women that visit our center 7 or more times, they have higher birth weights in their children. And we also work with Celebrate One, which is a wonderful group that helps with safe sleeping, home visits, and material support, all working to help that child get to their first birthday. We work with youth programs and counseling support like Huckleberry House and Catholic Social Services. There's a group called Impact that helps with utilities, rent, bills that a mom struggles at times to pay. We work with groups that help mom through parenting, like a group called Help Me Grow and My Baby and Me. Addiction and abuse support, sometimes overlooked.
I had no idea there.
We know where to connect women to places like LifeSpring and Choices. And then finally, we're also connected with a group, Join and Mommies Matter. And these, you know, their primary mission is geared toward after pregnancy, ongoing wraparound support. And so it starts at the Women's Care Center, and we know where to go next with that woman.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Now, do you folks, especially this has to be directed to you, Madeline, because you're the face, you're the voice of the organization.
Yeah.
Do you go out in public? Will you go to other organizations or parishes and put on programs, talks, presentations? Are you available for that type of thing?
Yes. So the goal is always to work with other community resources. So even just recently, we have staff meetings at the Women's Care Center where we bring in other ministries that help the woman through pregnancy and after pregnancy, so we can learn how to best refer to these groups and how specifically they help women, so that when we sit down in that counseling session, we know what her needs are and we can identify those needs and we can best fit her needs with these ministries.
So typically, the baby's born. How long does Women's Care Center typically stay with that family?
Yes.
Is there a typical amount of time post-birth or what?
Our doors are always open. So we have support ongoing, like our parenting classes, like our crib club, and those do not end. So a woman can use those support systems as much as she wants to. And that crib club, like we talked about last with tickets that you get for baby wipes, for diapers, for cribs, for baby car seats, things like that. A woman might have her first child and then be pregnant happily with her second child, and she is welcome and encouraged to come back, attend our parenting classes, and continue to receive coupons to our crib club.
So there is no time.
There's no end.
I think that pretty much disarms that objection about once the baby's born, you're done with them.
No.
Which is also a knock against adoption.
Yes.
Oftentimes you hear pro-lifers are only concerned about anti-abortion. Mm-hmm. Fighting abortion. But you know, where are you with other pro-life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. We don't have much time left here. So how does someone, if they see the value of your work and they want to get involved, how do they contact you? How do they support you?
Yes. So there are, I think, three things that your listeners can do to support the Women's Care Center. And the first that we can never look over is to pray. Pray for the brave women that walk through our doors, that they make a decision for life. Pray for our counselors, that they walk in every day, mirroring back the strengths of that woman and helping her choose life. Pray, also advocate. You know, we've heard about us, brag about us in the community, tell your family, friends, and neighbors that what we're doing is impactful. And then finally, financially support the Women's Care Center. There no financial support, no mission, no financial support. So, anything can be sent to 935 East Broad Street in Columbus. Also online at supportwomenscarecenter.org. And then finally, even as simply as texting Columbus Babies, one word, to 41444.
Great. You've been listening to Life Perspectives, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, where we spotlight the missions, challenges, and victories of pro-life organizations right here in Central Ohio. We cover the entire spectrum of life issues, from conception all the way to natural death. We've been privileged again today to have in studio with us Madeline Pesavento. She's the Outreach Director, and also Katie Bider, Client Care Director at Women's Care Center of Columbus. Madeline, Katie, again, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day this afternoon to help enlighten our listeners on the great work, and I mean great work, of Women's Care Center in your mission to protect unborn children and support their mothers and fathers. I'm your host, Gary Anderson, inviting you to join us again for the next edition of Life Perspectives right here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. See you then.
Veni Sancti.